Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Tuesday, January 28th edition of the MAOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. Doing a show a little bit later than usual today. I usually do it in the morning, but I have not been feeling well the last few days, and I need to really sleep today, so that's why I'm doing it later. But, you know, honestly, I have did the podcast every day for 6 months, every day, Monday to Friday, for 6 months. And today was the one day I was like, you know what, maybe I'm going to take a day off, but I can't. You know, I just love doing the podcast too much. So, you know, don't mind my voice, guys. It's a little weak right now, but I'm definitely going to do the show. So let's get into it right away. Let's start with Tyron Woodley. Tyron Woodley was a guest on Ariel's show yesterday. And basically, he admitted he blew his money. He said he lived a lavish lifestyle as a UFC champion. And he bought 7 cars, 2 houses, and he was going clubbing every night. And he basically lost all his money, you know. So it was actually, you know, pretty surreal to hear him say this. You know, you don't really hear guys talk about this kind of stuff so openly. He's not the first professional athlete to lose his money, to be bad with his money. I mean, he's not the first person to be bad with his money. But for someone like Woodley to come out and talk about it so openly, I thought it showed a lot of courage, you know. And a lot of people are not really fans of Woodley, but to me, this showed a lot of courage on his part, and I was actually really impressed with the fact he came out and talked about it. And maybe this is the kind of discussion that other athletes need to be a little open with this kind of stuff. You know, I hope the best for him, man. You know, I'm not the biggest Tyron Woodley fan by any means, but the guy, you know, he was very open about the mistakes he's made, and he was very, very, you know, just honest about it. And to me, there's something to be said for that. So, you know, unfortunately, he did lose a lot of money, but maybe he can make something back. You know, for me, he's got to start fighting more often, though. You know, he's only been fighting once a year. He hasn't even fought this year yet. He's going to fight Leon Edwards in a few months. That's a year off between fights. So that obviously doesn't help either. But, you know, I thought it was actually really interesting to hear him talk about this. All right, let's switch gears here. UFC has introduced a new pound-for-pound ranking system. Men and female top 15 for pound for pound, which I think is a good idea because it never really made sense to me that you had the pound for pound list, you had females and males, and it just didn't make sense. The problem with the way they presented it is they did it combined. So it's like Nunez, Jones, and then what is it, Khabib and Shevchenko. Like, it's kind of weird. Like, if you go to the website, it just looks really awful. So I think it's a good idea, but they should just do the list separately. I don't see why they have 1-1, 2-2. It looks really stupid. And, you know, I've seen a lot of criticism towards the pound-for-pound rankings. Like, you have a fighter like Jessica Eye in the top 15. I think a lot of people don't really like that much. Having said that, like I said, I do think it's a good idea. I just think that the way they presented it is very, very awful looking. You can go to the website and see yourself. But it is kind of good that at least some more fighters are getting their fair shake and being part of this ranking system. Like, for instance, in the male divisions, you have Robert Whittaker and Jorge Masvidal finally entering the rankings. And then for females, you have there's a lot of females that weren't in it before. Shevchenko, Zhang, Andrade, Namajunas, Don Jacek, Holm, Durandamy, Suarez, Chukagian, Ladd, Eye, Pena, Gadea, Ansaroff. And I think a lot of people will be critical of this list when you have someone like Nina Ansaroff, for instance, in the top 15 of a pound-for-pound ranking system. Doesn't kind of make that much sense, but at least they're trying to make some differences here. I'm not a huge fan of the rankings in general. I think they're a promotional tool, but they just don't have the right people doing it. And again, we've talked about this many times on the podcast, and there was an article on Reddit a little while ago on bjpenn.com. We had the article there as well where they were just exposed. So at least they are trying to make some changes, but it does look weird. And also, you know, I love Amanda Nunes. She's an amazing fighter. Does she really need to be listed above John Jones in the pound-for-pound ranks? Like, if you look at the website, she's number one above John Jones. I don't know about that, guys. That's a little strange to me. Anyways, let's go to Conor McGregor. His manager says he wants to chase a boxing title. I'm not sure what to think about this. I mean, Conor, I think he should just focus on MMA. We saw what happened when he boxed Floyd Mayweather, and I get it. It's Floyd Mayweather. He's amazing, right? He's like a legend, but I don't know. I just feel like Conor's so much better in MMA. Why would he even bother going to boxing? It doesn't make much sense to me. I know that maybe he thinks there's more money in it. I don't see why, though. To me, he's making enough money in the UFC where he's just stick around. So when I saw this, I kind of laughed. I just think that he should be fighting guys like Masvidal, money fights. Those are the kind of fights that fans want to see. And that's what I think he should start doing. So just stick around with MMA, go for the big fights, and then focus on boxing later. It doesn't make sense for him to do it right now. I'm going to get to some fight announcements. I'm just going to stick with UFC Lincoln. There was actually a lot of fight announcements the last few days. I'll talk about more tomorrow. But for today, I'm going to do UFC Lincoln because there was like six or seven fights announced for this card, including the main event between Anthony Smith and Glover Teixeira, which is a fight that I have called for numerous times in this podcast. It's a fight that makes a lot of sense. Anthony Smith, he is one of the top-ranked guys in the division, obviously, coming off a really good win over Alexander Gustafsson. It was last June, so he hasn't fought in a while, but the guy is super dangerous. Since moving to light heavyweight, he's 4-1 with wins over Rashad Evans, Shogun Hua, Volkan Oezdemir, and Alexander Gustafsson, all by stoppage, and then the loss to John Jones in a title fight. So the guy is incredible, and he really is a great fighter. And then Glover Teixeira is such a good fighter himself, and to me, you know, he's one of the more underrated guys probably in the UFC in general. I just think he doesn't get his fair due. I think he really is a top guy. He has been for a long time. He's coming off three straight wins over Nikita Krylov, Jan Kutalaba, and Carl Robertson. So not the most elite guys in the division, but you know, he's got some good wins recently too, like Jared Cannonier, Misha Cirkunov. He has lost a few times. Like the Corey Anderson fight was a really bad performance by him 2 years ago. And then of course he got knocked out by Gustafsson. But overall, I think Glover's a really solid fighter. The problem is he's 40, and you know, that's going to hurt him. Also, Anthony Smith, I just think he's, you know, he's from Nebraska kind of. So this is kind of a hometown fight for him. And I think that's going to help him out as well. But the fact he's just 9 years younger, I think, is really going to help him out here. So great fight. Makes a lot of sense as the main event. Really like this matchup. I would expect Anthony Smith to be a decent-sized favorite, maybe like, you know, 2-1, 3-1 favorite here. But really good fight for sure. And like I said, there's a lot of fights that were announced for this card. Here's another one. Evan Dunham against Michael Johnson. So Evan Dunham was actually retired. He's coming back out of retirement here. He retired after getting knocked out by Francisco Trinaldo and Olivier Albert Mercier. Both fights were knees to the body, which is never a good sign. He's been knocked out to the body quite a few times in his career. And he's a solid fighter. I mean, Evan Dunham is a guy that was underrated for years. But the last few fights, again, you know, getting knocked out was not a good look for him. And then he's going to be coming back at age 38. So I don't know how much success he's going to have. Michael Johnson, though, you know, 33, he's kind of inconsistent himself, coming off back-to-back losses to Josh Emmett by knockout and Stevie Ray by majority decision, which was a really bad performance by him. He should have won that fight for sure. And then loses to a guy like Ray as a big favorite. That was not a good look. I think the fact that it's at lightweight should probably help Michael Johnson. I have to go with him here just because Evan Dunham, he's taking too much damage in his career, but Michael Johnson's a little inconsistent. But still, I think it's an interesting fight. Just a little surprised Evan Dunham's coming back. Let's head to the women's division here, women's flyweight. Cynthia Calvillo against Antonina Shevchenko. Antonina is 8-1 in her career, and she's 2-1 in the UFC. She is coming off a really nice win over Lucy Pudilova by submission in a fight of the night last year. Before that, lost to Roxanne Modafferi by split decision, which doesn't even look that bad right now because Roxanne's on fire. So she's a solid fighter. She's definitely not as good as Valentina is, her sister, but she's a solid fighter. Cynthia Calvillo coming off a draw against Barina Rodriguez in the UFC is 5-1-1. She's a good fighter for sure. I think maybe not as she hasn't had as much success as some of us thought when she first arrived in the UFC. She looked like a serious title contender, and then she's had a lot of issues, obviously, inside the cage with her weight. And then, of course, she did test positive for marijuana, which to me doesn't matter, but it hurt her career because she had to sit out for almost a year. So she's had a lot of issues, but, you know, I do think she's a pretty solid fighter. I favor Calvillo a little bit here. I just think she's a better fighter, but Antonina is definitely a decent fighter as well, so an interesting fight. Welterweight bout here, Anthony Rocco-Martin against David Zawada. Good fight. Anthony Rocco-Martin, he's won 5 of his last 6 fights, including a really nice win over Ramzan Ameev in his last fight. And then David Zawada is coming off a really big win over Abubakar Nurmagomedov in his last fight. He is just 1-2 in the UFC. I'm a little surprised they booked this matchup just because of the records. I mean, Rocco-Martin is a guy who's on the bubble of the top 15 at 170 pounds, and then Zawada is not even close to sniffing that. He is a decent fighter. He's a little underrated. But you got to favor Anthony Rocco-Martin here. Just more experience than UFC, better performances, and I think he should definitely be favored to win this fight. Next up, we got a middleweight bout, Zach Cummings against Andrew Sanchez. Zach Cummings, 35 years old, coming off a loss to Omari Akhmedov. He's a guy who's a little inconsistent at times, but you know, he's a grinder. He gets the job done all the time too. Andrew Sanchez, he's coming off a loss to Marvin Vettori, which snapped a 2-fight win streak. This fight can go either way. I mean, it's going to be a grind. I expect a lot of like guys, both guys just shoving each other against the fence. and it could be a, you know, kind of a boring fight. I think it's going to go three rounds. I really don't know who's going to win this fight. I mean, I guess I favor Andrew Sanchez a little bit because he's younger, but it's a fight that go either way. And then the other fight here is a women's strawweight bout, Mackenzie Dern against Ariane Carnalosi. So Mackenzie Dern making a return to the octagon after losing to Amanda Ribas. That was her first loss in MMA. Overall, she's 2-1 in the UFC. She's still only 26, though, so still really young. Obviously, she had a kid. She took some time off the cage. She was out for over a year. I think she lost some of her momentum, which obviously hurt her. But, you know, she had to do what she did as a mom, and that I can respect that. But she didn't look very good in that last fight, and that definitely worries me a little bit here. But the thing is, Carnalosi's not, like, she's not a great fighter by any means. She's coming off a TKO loss to Angela Hill, and really, she's never beat anyone even close to as good as Mackenzie Dern. Ironically, she does have another loss in her career against Amanda Ribas, so they both have that loss to Ribas. Carnalosi was submitted. Dern lost the decision. You got to favor Mackenzie Dern. I mean, I don't want to overthink it here. She'll definitely be a favorite in this fight. She's definitely, you know, still a good prospect in this division. Hopefully she can stay healthy, make weight, and have a really good 2020. I still have high hopes for Mackenzie Dern, but you know, I can definitely see why some people aren't as high on her as they used to be. Here we go. We got some questions here. Katsuhiro Ryo Doju. Hey, Adam, my man Kiesa won me a lot of money Saturday. He was in a 10-fight parlay that I won to thanks to his underdog bump. Yo, congrats, man. Yeah, you were like the one guy that was like really high on Kiesa for this fight. So nice pick, dude. I did think RDA would get a decision. You know, that the first two rounds were one apiece, and then RDA looked great in that, or Kiesa looked great in that third round, man. So he looked amazing and great pick, dude. Really good bet. RDA and JDS both show up for checks only these days against younger fighters like Kiesa and Curtis Blaze, who are studs. Yeah, I mean, JDS is, and I talked about Chester, he's just at the end of his career, 35. He's been knocked out too many times now, back-to-back knockout losses. You know, love JDS. He'll be a Hall of Famer one day, but definitely not the same guy he once was. And RDA, same thing, 35 years old, and he's looking a little bit shot-born himself. And proof. Oh, okay, this guy's asking if you have proof. It is what it is. You know what, man, congrats. Seriously, though, like I said, you were like the one guy that was like all over Kiesa. I can't remember if you had JDS or not, but Blaze looked good, man. He looked really good in this fight yesterday, on Saturday. I talked about it yesterday. But, yeah, I think Blaze, I mean, geez, it's too bad. This division just it's in a holding pattern. It's just, it's annoying, right? I can't be the only one who's, like, annoyed by this. Like, Stipe and DC, I love these guys. Like, their first two fights were great, classics, but let's let the division move on, you know? Francis Ngannou should be fighting for the title at this point. Curtis Blaydes could be potentially fighting for the title as well. It's not fair for these guys to be just sitting and waiting around for DC and Stipe to you know, get their third fight going. They've been taking way too long for that to happen. I don't know what to say, guys. And DC was on Ariel's show yesterday as well. He just said that, you know, there's really no update. Also, he said that, you know, he's not even sure if he should have even had that fight last summer, you know. And I feel like that fight's kind of just put the division in a holding pattern. Anyways, Marcus, get well soon. Thanks, Marcus. I really appreciate that, man. The last few days have been absolutely brutal. I'm a guy who doesn't really get sick that often, so this has been just – it's been painful. That's all I can say. It is sad to see Tyron Woodley went through his money like that. We've seen so many fighters and athletes go through millions and go broke. Financial education is needed. I agree 100%, man. And I saw that – I think you were posting like a book, Marcus, if I'm not mistaken, that you sell in your store. You know, for sure. I mean, especially a guy like Woodley or just an elite athlete, they really should have financial planners. But you know what? I'm a guy who's made a lot of mistakes with my money too, you know? So I've been there like Woodley. And obviously, I didn't lose as much money as he did, but I've made mistakes with my money. I'm sure a lot of us have, you know? It sucks. But for sure, Marcus, like you said, man, these guys, they live for today and they don't plan for tomorrow. And that's the biggest problem. And then when they're retired and they need, you know, money. There was that hockey player. I think it's George LaRocque, I believe. And I think he's working at Tim Hortons, if I'm not mistaken. George LaRocque was – sorry, it wasn't George LaRocque. It's Donald Brashear. He was an enforcer in the NHL for years. And he was involved in a really infamous incident where I think Marty McSorley hit him in the head with a stick and it really screwed him up. But, you know, the sad part is – Donald Brashear was a guy who made millions of dollars, like you said, and he was not good with his money. Now he works at Tim Hortons, which is a coffee shop here in Canada, and also in the States, I think they have some, but just depressing. I mean, it really is. So again, Woodley's not the only guy that's did that, and like I said, Brashear is the perfect example of that. And then, like I mentioned, George LaRocque. George LaRocque actually just kind of stood up for his friend, and he actually went to Tim Hortons and worked a day and worked a shift. But yeah, Don Brashear, I remember when that story came out, I was actually really sad because, that guy went through a lot in his career. As one of the few black hockey players, like, he was subject to a lot of racism. And again, getting hit in the head with that stick by Marty McSorley, like, screwed him up pretty bad. So for him to, like, be working at a Tim Hortons after playing in the NHL for so many years is just, it's extremely sad, But again, this is not the only player this has happened to, not the only athlete it's happened to. And, it's good for Willie, I think, to talk about this kind of stuff. I think. Anyways, let's go to some questions here. Time for a heavyweight interim title bout. Put DC versus Nagano. I don't really know what DC's going on with him, man. That would be a good fight, though. I don't think DC will fight Nagano. I think DC will fight Stipe, and that'll be it. I don't see him fighting again. Tyrone did what Conor did for 3 years, parties like a superstar. Conor 85 million, Tyrone 1.5 million to blow. It's not the same lifestyle because Conor still has 60 million left after 3 years of growing. Yeah, it's hard to compare it to Tyrone. Lucky if he has 300K left, and then some guys. Yeah, I mean, listen, guys. Like, as far as the betting and stuff goes, like, I would hope that if you're bragging about your bets, you're honest about it. So, I mean, do we really need to have proof and stuff? It is what it is. Anyways, if anyone's any like last second questions, throw them in here and I'll get to them. But I think I'm gonna end the show pretty soon. My voice is just not there right now, unfortunately. Let's see here. Just taking a look to see if there's anything else. Yeah, I don't know. I think that's it. There's a good article here at BJPenn.com. My buddy Cole Sheldon, podcast co-host, talked about three potential opponents for Chris Cyborg. Definitely check that out. He listed Catsingano, Arlene Blencow, and Sinead Kavanaugh as opponents. It's sad that she's not in the UFC anymore, guys. I'm really disappointed. Who wouldn't want to see Chris Cyborg versus Amanda Nunes too? That's the fight I want to see. We all want to see that fight. It's unfortunate. I posted that article on MMArings.net. If you guys want to go and check that out, I'd appreciate that. Or basically the argument that the UFC screwed up really badly by letting her go. And they should have kept her, Dana White's ego on the way once again, which is unfortunate because Chris Cyborg is, besides Amanda Nunes, the most dominant female fighter in the world. So it's unfortunate she's not in the UFC anymore. She'll be fighting second-rate competition at Bellator. That's the honest to God truth. They're going to try their best to get competition for her. Catsingano is definitely an interesting fight, and Catsingano does have a win over Amanda Nunes, so that's interesting, but not the same, Anyways, there's a few other questions here, but I'll just ignore those for now. All right, guys, thanks again for tuning in to today's show. I'll be back tomorrow, hopefully in the morning. Hopefully, I feel better. I'll rest up tonight again. And I'll be back in the morning. You guys can check me on Twitter at I'm Adam Martin and the podcast. And my home is MMAoddsBreaker.com. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMArings.net. I got to give a shout out to the big boss man, Nick Kalikas. He's been posting some videos on his Instagram of him making bets in Vegas. So that's really cool stuff of Nick. I know he made a bet on Dominic Reyes and Yoel Romero. And just one last thing here from Marcus. Your article on the UFC dropping the ball in Cyborg was good. Dana draw the ball bad with Cyborg. She should have been a big money draw for the UFC. I really appreciate you checking out the article, man. I appreciate that a lot. And I agree 100%. It was a mistake by the UFC to let her go. But, Bellator is going to, I think, benefit from that. All right, guys. Thanks again for tuning in and bearing with me today. Hopefully, my voice will be back.